Have you ever heard this saying? If you think you can or if you think you can't, you are right. Is that not the message in the kids' book, The Little Engine That Could? The story is used to teach children the value of optimism and hard work. You know the phrase in the story the little engine keeps repeating? I think I can, I think I can. Let me rephrase that a bit. I think I can live for Jesus. I think I can live for Jesus. I think I can live for Jesus. This morning, we are going to keep answering the question, is Jesus worth it? Let me encourage you to have the confidence because of Jesus. You can live for His glory, for His honor. To rephrase the description of the book, the writer of Hebrews wants you to understand the value of Jesus and His work. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 14. And before we start reading, you know what to do when you see the word therefore? See what it's there for. Verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins, as for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest. But he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." Just as he says also in another passage, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. You can have confidence because of Jesus. You can have confidence in Jesus because he is your advocate. Jesus is for you, not against you. And can I just say to you, I don't know where you are in life. I don't know what's going on in your world. But I am for you, not against you. Using language the Hebrew recipients would have understood, the description of Jesus is, he is your high priest. As they worshipped in the temple, the high priest would be the one, only one to go into the Holy of Holies, and he only once a year. He would go in. This, to me, this is almost comical, but it's tragically true, tragically real. He would go in with the rope. When he would enter in behind the veil, when he would go in to the Holy of Holies, he would go in with a rope tied around his ankle. Because all the other priests who were waiting outside knew that if God was not pleased with that high priest, he would strike him dead, and they didn't want to have to go in after him. And so they knew if they heard the body fall over that they were just going to pull him out and not go in. Jesus is the one who has come into the Holy of Holies for you. Jesus is now your high priest. He has paid your debt of sin. He has risen from the grave and ascended into heaven. And because he is there, he is advocating for you, speaking for you. He understands your weaknesses, your temptations. Yet Jesus did not sin. He was tempted as you are. As 1 John describes them, by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Go back to the three synoptic gospels where they describe, the three writers describe the temptations of Jesus. And each one of them falls into one of those categories. Lust of the eyes, what we see. Lust of the flesh, what our body says we want. And the boastful pride of life. I've got to have that. And Jesus faced all of that, but without sin. And because now he is your advocate, hold fast to your confession that Jesus is Lord. Hold fast to your confession. Hold fast to the truth. Hold fast to how you live your life. Hold fast to what you say that Jesus is Lord. And because Jesus is for you, draw near in prayer. Be persistent in prayer, knowing that as you pray, you are coming to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace. Mercy for your past. Mercy for your past. And grace for your future. We need God's mercy. We need the times when we did something awful. And I've told you, it just came to my mind, hadn't thought about him in months. I don't care if you're Luther. Remember the story of the little wedding gift that we received from one of the leaders of the gangs in Illinois that had been in the state penitentiary killing people and leading and tearing the place up and got put into the federal joint where Pops was and came to the Lord. I don't care if you're a Luther that you've murdered people or you're the best person that you think there is. You still need Christ. And he is worth it. We need mercy for our past. And we need grace, what we need for our todays and every tomorrow. And he gives that to us. Jesus will help you. He is worth it. He is your advocate. We have a poster up at one of the doors downstairs. I don't know if it's on the other end. It's on this end. The voice, the poster says, "Can you be a voice for me?" It's a picture of a child. And the poster is trying to recruit people to become a guardian ad litem. And what a guardian ad litem does is becomes a spokesman for kids in bad situation. A kid that needs someone to speak for them. And Jesus is doing that right now. He is speaking for you. So many that look at religion, church, a relationship with Jesus, they just look at it as a list of do's and don'ts. And it is true that Jesus wants you to obey them and live as he says, because that's the best life. That's the best life. That's the best way to live life. Some of us, sometimes we get into a situation and we say, "You just don't understand me." Let me tell you, Jesus understands you. He understands everything about you. So we need to remember to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. That we are in need of a high priest. That we are in need of an advocate. That we are in need of a Savior. And that Savior came and lived among us, understood us exactly, completely. And died a death that he did not deserve, but that we did. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. When we take our eyes off of him and go our own way and mercy is needed, go to him, draw near to him, and you'll receive mercy and the grace you need to live. He will help you. Be encouraged. I don't know what this past week held for you. I seriously doubt that you handled every situation perfectly. We're coming before God's throne for mercy. I don't know what this coming week will hold for you. There may be doctor's appointments that may not turn out great. There may be the phone call that you wished hadn't come. There may be something come in the mail that you were dreading, but God's grace will be there with you. He will pour out His grace for you. So be encouraged. 2 or 3 weeks ago at the end of the service, I made a comment about the political goings-on in Virginia. Let me be very clear. Abortion is murder, whether the child has been conceived a day or 40 weeks. But what struck me was what everyone was talking about happened 25 years ago or more. That was what was going on in the news. Well, let me tell you, in Christ, you are a new creation. You are a new creature. If you've come to Christ through repentance and confession, you are a new creature. Never forget that. He gives grace. The past is the past, and Jesus gives mercy, and He gives grace for our future. And as His people, we need to do the same. So when you come to Jesus and the relationship is begun, what is in the past is past. So go to Him. He is your advocate. You can have confidence because of Jesus. You can have confidence in Jesus because He has met every qualification necessary. Again, let me say, Jesus is for you. He is not against you. In the first part of chapter 5, the writer sets the table, if you will, for how and why Jesus has met every qualification necessary to be your high priest. First, there are two conditions are set forth for a person to become the high priest. In the high priest's work of offering gifts and sacrifices for sins on behalf of the people, the high priest must be able to empathize with their frailty, with the frailty of those he serves. Let me tell you, Jesus understands you. You're not that complex. You're not that different. Jesus understands you. Verse 2 explains it this way. The high priest can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided because he has weaknesses of his own. And Jesus is able to feel the weaknesses of others because he has been tested as you are. Verse 7 mentions the praying Jesus did, accompanied with loud crying and tears. Although Jesus was the Son of God, he learned obedience from the things he endured, the things he suffered. And these sufferings make eternal salvation possible. The second qualification is this, that God has called him to be the priest, as Aaron was. And he did not seek it for himself. Jesus fulfilled these conditions. God the Father's plan from Eve's deception on has been that Jesus, God the Son, would come and defeat Satan, defeat sin, defeat the grave, and he has. We can live in victory today because Jesus has defeated sin, death, and the grave. Christ is our Redeemer. He did not glorify himself. The Father chose Jesus to take on the role of our high priest. He has met every qualification necessary. I know of a young man. He's about to become a Green Beret in our army. Now, from what I know about such an accomplishment, an officer did not go into the barracks and say, "Hey, guys, anybody want to be a Green Beret? Raise your hand. Okay, you're a Green Beret." Oh, no. They go through weeks and months of training. To me, it's insanity. Why anybody would want to be something like that, to me. But this young man has done it. He has passed every step. He has met a certain standard, physically, mentally, in every way. He had to meet those qualifications. And Jesus has met every qualification to be your Savior, to be your advocate, to be your high priest. All of us. Does that not spark a sense of awe in your life? That God's grace is so big, that God's love is so vast, that He wants us in a relationship with Him, that He was willing to send Christ to do that for us. Willing to die a sacrificial atoning death. That should elicit awe, that He was willing to go through all that to pay your debt. Are you claiming this morning that Jesus has been the sacrifice for your sins? You don't have to work your debt off. There's no payment plan. He has come to pay the price. And He said on the cross, "It is finished." And what He was making wasn't an accounting statement. Debt paid in full. Your debt, my debt. And do you realize and live as if Jesus knows you better than you know yourself? Because He does. I wonder sometimes if I don't pray the way I should, that I don't give it the time, I don't give it the attention that I should, because I think I can hide something from Jesus. You can't. So just pour your heart out. Pour your life out to Him. This morning, are you living in obedience to the Lord as Jesus did to the Father? Answer the question, do you have confidence in Jesus? To think of hard things and say, "I can't," is sure to mean nothing done. To refuse to be daunted and insist on saying, "I think I can," is to make sure of being able to say triumphantly by and by, "I thought I could, I thought I could." This morning, think about your relationship with Jesus. His mercy, His grace allows us to go forward. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Yeah, life is hard. Life is still lived in a sinful, fallen world. Bad things do happen to good people, to God's people. But remember, Jesus is worth it. He is your advocate. He is for you. He has met and exceeded every qualification necessary to be your high priest. Are you claiming Him?